Good morning.
Good morning.
Looks like you're the only one so far.
Yes.
And I understand there was a really heavy rainstorm.
Oh, it was really bad. I've been up since 1 o'clock. It even canceled school.
Sorry to hear it. But we shall see.
Okay. I'm sure Texas got what we got. Judy was at her grandson, so she's okay.
Good. Randy said he was sending me a text. I haven't had time to read it, but it was very bad in her area, too.
Right. Well, we lost phone again 2 days in a row. And internet and the cell phones worked, but
I did receive your letter. Thank you very much.
Okay. I never got around to telling you I finally mailed it. Well, I actually did it a little bit early, but I don't know if it was, you know, if you received it by the 5th. I've been trying to remember that.
Well, it's not the end of the world. I got it on, I think, Tuesday,
okay.
So.
Are you planning to do Psalm 66?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the next one. I still have to redo 62 as well.
Okay. I tried the Tepeni Zohar, then I couldn't sleep, and it would not come up, so... But that was on my phone, and it may be because of the weather. So I haven't tried this morning. If it still doesn't come up, well, I'll let you know, because everything's back on. That's the bad thing about AT&T is when the weather's bad, everything, you don't get anything. You know, the television on with the news and...
All of it.
And the telephones don't work, and other than the cell phones, so at least we have that, but we're not used to that.
Well, I'm opening up. It doesn't work, so I'll have to check that out. It's not working. I kind of think I know what it is, but we'll see.
Okay. There may be a lot of lines out because we were supposed to, today was the day that we were supposed to have our termite inspection, you know, the yearly thing. And they don't answer, and so I'm kind of thinking there may be other phone lines out.
And there may be some damaged roads and bridges as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the news was reporting in Houston it was the flooding is severe.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take much for Houston to flood. But just across the from us, which isn't but about maybe 15 miles, the hail was as the size of a baseball. So we didn't have that extreme of weather here. It's just it was constant rain. And, of course, when it's constant rain, then it floods throughout the city. But
right.
It was nighttime, so most people weren't out anyway. And right at the time, I mean, Tony got dressed to do his school crossing, and he was on the phone with AT&T trying to get the telephones working again when the message came through on my cell phone that the schools were canceled. So,
which is not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we had, it was maybe 20 minutes, but the most severe rain I had ever seen. I mean, literally, I could not see through the blanket of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to get that, it's fine.
That's my home line, but it's a robocall.
Oh, okay. Don't we love them?
Oh, they call 2 and 3 times a day, and even if you pick it up, they don't say anything.
Oh, I don't pick them up, so. If they don't leave a message, I don't pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I usually don't, but I'm getting to where I can't tell anymore. It's not, because, you know, sometimes even the nurses will use their own home phone and you don't recognize their name instead of calling from the office and just other things, too.
Right.
And they
well,
have a
always,
lot of...
Always
at least 5 people live out of state, and so when they call, and they don't call real often, and even my friends in Israel have, American numbers, you know, because they
right.
have that service, and they don't call real often, so, he's not going to give up. Well, that may have been the termite man. Tony picked it up. Priyamala.
Welcome. Didn't think you were coming.
Well, I'm here.
Understand. Well, I'm glad you're still here.
I'm here. We are all here this morning. But the outages here in this area are severe.
I do understand. Well, let's continue and study the Torah, study the Psalms today. So we're studying and we're studying chapter 66. And we'll start with the Psalms landing page.
Let me go ahead and this person isn't going to give up.
Understood. Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah. Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayhino Amandonai Elohino Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Karenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Karenei. Psalm 66, Tehillim 66, in the Psalms landing page. This psalm describes the praises and the awe-inspiring prayers that we will offer Hashem upon the ingathering of the exiles. This is the kavanah to use when saying this psalm. What is unwritten in this kavanah, we need to understand that there's a process of the ingathering of the exiles that started with the founding of the modern state of Israel, and even before that, with the influx of Jewish people into Palestine, starting right at the early part of the 1900s. And yet, that ingathering has not been recognized because it takes the Mashiach to announce it. That should not stop anyone from saying this psalm and with this kavanah. I was just giving you some background and some understanding. The first word is lamnatseach, which has the consciousness, as we've talked from time to time, has the consciousness of a pruning tool. There are 20 verses in Psalm 66. 20 is a number that connects to the Shekel HaKodesh, the holy shekel of the Torah, as the Torah tells us. Torah tells us that the Shekel HaKodesh is 20 gerar. Other Hebrew words with a gematria of 20 are translated out as and gold. The verb in Hebrew haya, he yud he, is the infinitive form of the word of the verb to be. And the third word is your hand. There are many other words as well. Also, the number 20 connects to the concept of the 10 sephirot of direct light and the 10 sephirot of returning light. Another metaphor is the 10 sephirot of inner light and the 10 sephirot of surrounding light, or makif and or panimi. There is a link to the Nachon Mamre website, and when that link opens up, please scroll down to chapter 66, which is where I will begin. Lam Natsaya Shir Mizmor Ariyu Lelohim Kol Haaretz. For the leader, a song, a psalm. Shout unto Hashem, all the earth. Actually, it's shout unto Elohim, all the earth. The second verse. Zamru kivot shemo simu tavot tehilato. Sing praises unto the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. You usually don't see the word Shemo. But its gematria is 346. And his name is the the name of Moses with the Kollel. When Moses is complete, the metaphor of the soul of Moses, which is inclusive of all of the Israelites, when that name is complete, meaning all of the souls of the Israelites have completed their tikkun, we will be able to add the Kollel to the name of Moses. That's my opinion anyway. The third verse. Imru Elohim Manora Masecha Verovuzcha Yitachashu Lecha Oyevecha. Say unto God, say unto Elohim, how tremendous is thy work. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies dwindle away before thee. There are 10 words connecting to the 10 sephirot in this verse. Letters which connects to the word tal, bet lamed, which translates as dew, and it refers to the dew that will be anointed, be used to anoint the Mashiach by a prophet. Typically, it's considered Eliyahu Hanavi would be the prophet. But the stages that are not really discussed to bring the Mashiach, first there must be a Sanhedrin that gets returned. And that has happened. The Sanhedrin is reconstituted, although it is not recognized by most of the Jewish world yet. That Sanhedrin can rule whether a person is a true prophet or not. And until that takes place, that prophet would not be able to anoint the Mashiach. So these are the three steps in that area that are precursors to the idea of what happens in the coming of the Mashiach as the prophecies have described. The fourth verse. Kol haaretz yishtachavu lecha, v'yizamru lach, yizamru shimcha selah. Remember, whenever you see the word selah, it's a pause to contemplate what has just been said. The English translation, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing praises unto thee. They shall sing praises to thy name, Selah. Now, the second to the last word, just before Selah, is Shimcha. And it's essentially saying your name. Whereas in the second verse, the word was Shemo, his name. The gematria of Shem Cha is 360. But at the time of the Mashiach, we'll be using the final letter gematria, which would make it 820. And I'd like to pick a click, but I'm clicking is why I'm doing that. So open up the Bible wheel Gematria to see what turns up with the Gematria of 820. The word Shemati, which comes from Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, which they're translating as hear, but it's, I don't know the Hebrew well enough, the grammar well enough to understand when you add the, if it was just Shema with a yud at the end, Shemai, I would translate it as your hearing. And I know that the Taf Yud ending, it's usually Yud Taf, but the Taf Yud ending is a way of setting a particular conjugation of the verb Shema, to hear. But I'm not really familiar enough with it to know what that means. Other words with 820.
I know.
Yes.
Sham is the word here. Sham is the word here. H-E-R.
Yes.
On the dreidel. In Israel's dreidel.
Say this again.
I think on Israel's dreidel, it says Nez Gadol Hayah Sham. A great miracle happened here, H-E-R-E.
That's correct.
Yeah,
but that's not the word here. The word here is Shemati. It's Shema, Shin Mem Ayin, and then the ending is Taf Yud.
Okay, so you're using here, H-E-A-R. Okay.
Right.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm on mute again.
Other words, Tishiyam is the number for 90, which is basically Tesha, which is 9, but it's put in the context, so it's understandable. There are a number of words that have this gematria of 820. But what's interesting is there are three verses in the Tanakh that has a gematria of 820. One is in Nehemiah. One is Psalm 118:11. And I'm just reading this. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of Adonai, I will destroy them. I don't know what the word compassed means. And Ezekiel 16:35, wherefore, harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Continuing. Verse 5, back to the psalm itself. Lehuru mifalot Elohim, no ra alila Al b'nei Adam, come and see the works of Hashem, the works of Elohim. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. I would not expect to see that, but I understand the idea of what's being expressed. But I wouldn't expect King David to be saying that Hashem is, implying that Hashem is not just, that Elohim is not just. God forbid I'm saying it. God forbid that was the meaning, and I know it wasn't the meaning of this verse. But that's the way the translation appears. The sixth verse. Ha'afach yam l'yabasha b'nahar ya'aru v'ragel sham nismechavo. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There, let us rejoice in him. Actually, I would translate the last few words differently. Sham means there, as Hana has said already, and nis mecha is a word that would be translated as let us rejoice, or let us be happy. But the word bo means to come. Let us be happy in his coming. Why they would translate it as in him is the idea that he's always here. Verse 7. Moshe bigvurato olam eina vagoim tishena. Yes, Hana.
I made a mistake a while ago. Po is here and Sham is there. So in Jerusalem or in Israel, they would say Po on their dreidel,
right,
whereas here we say Sham. So I had it the opposite, and I just wanted to make sure it was corrected.
Not a problem, and I should have corrected you, but I wasn't really focused on that. So I apologize as well.
Well, I've had so many interruptions at the phone calls, I wasn't focused either. So, but anyway, it's corrected.
So we have read the seventh verse in Hebrew. Actually, we did not. I see now that I haven't completed it. So let me start again with the seventh verse in Hebrew. Moshe bigvurato olam. My mistake. I had read the sixth verse in Hebrew. So now I'm going to read the sixth verse in English. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There let us rejoice in him. And we did discuss that. So we're going on to the seventh verse. Moshe bigvurato olam. Eina vagoim keeps pena. Who rules by his might forever? His eyes keep watch upon the nations. Let not the rebellions exalt themselves. Selah. The term his eyes. Einav is a code word that the Zohar explains. These are part of the negative system that wander the earth, seeing all that men do, and then going back to the court and testifying about those actions and bringing the prosecutions against men. And there are 11 words which would indicate a support of the 10 Sephirot plus the 11, the negative system, as well as what brings you closer, the Ketoret, the incense offering. I would also point out the what is written in the Torah has some extra word, extra letters, and it's an extra. There's, we pronounce it Lamo. I'm sorry, it's written Lamo, but it's pronounced Yarumu. But that difference is significant in both the number of letters and in the meaning of the word. The eighth verse. Baruch Hu Amin Eloheinu V'Hashmiu Kol Tehilato. Bless Elohim, people, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Six words connecting to heaven, says Zeranpin, to mankind in one sense as well. Twenty-nine letters, which we've discussed repeatedly, deals with the month of Av and the energy of the sign of Aryeh, which includes the 216 letters from its gematria of the 72 names of God. The ninth verse. Asam nafshenu b'chayim v'lo natan lamot raglenu. Who has set our soul in life and suffered not our foot to be removed, to be moved. The beginning and the end of this verse, the two different phrases, seem to be a little bit out of context. To set our soul in life would imply a beginning, and not our foot not to be moved, the end, or an end. But I haven't seen that idea that the soul represents the beginning. Seven words connecting to the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut, unity of the spiritual with the physical. This makes sense from the translation as well. 28 words representing the word koach, meaning power or strength. The 10th verse. Ki v'chantanu Elohim tzirachtanu ki tzirach keseh kaseh. For you, Hashem, for you, Elohim, has tried us. Thou hast refined us as silver is refined. Frequently throughout Torah, there's this distinction between the way silver is refined and the way gold is refined. But silver representing the sharing kind, the sharing aspect. Silver is refined by heating it, and the impurities rise to the top to burn off. Whereas gold, the separation takes a different form. And I'm not really clear always on those differences, because I'm not a metallurgist. The 11th verse. Habetanu bamsuda samta muaka bimatnenu. Thou didst bring us into the hold. Thou didst lay constraint upon our loins. Five words connecting to the five worlds, or the five, the frame of the five sephirot of Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. Twenty-seven letters connects to all of the alphabet, including the final letters. The 12th verse. Hir kavta enosh roshenu banu vayesh uva mayim vatotienu lar vaya. Thou hast cast men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou didst bring us out into abundance. The word for men is enosh, and this is usually thought of as men who have fallen. As you know, there are no synonyms in Hebrew. And there are different words used for a man, for mankind, or for men. Enosh is the lowest description, because Enosh, the third generation, there were Cain and Abel and Seth. And then the next, I believe, and Seth had a son, Enosh. And in his generation, so it wasn't the third, it was the second, but it's sometimes considered the third. In his generation, the people stopped thanking God and started to worship the sun and the moon and other forms of Elohim, of gods, idol worship, and so forth. 13th verse. Avo ve'echa v'olot ashalem lecha nedarai. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform unto you my vows. six words connecting to Zerantim. Twenty-four letters connects to the idea of day and night, because there is 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. And in the Hebrew perception, the Jewish religion perception, the length of an hour is different depending on the time of the year and the when the sun rises and when the sun sets. It's basically teaching relativity, that time is relative and time is attached to a position, to a location, to space. As the science now calls it, space-time. The 14th verse. Asher patsu safatai v'diberti patsarli, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in distress. This implies that people do not make vows unless they're in distress. Fifteenth pasuk. Olot mehim a'alelach im ketoret elim e'ese bakar im hatudim sela. I will offer unto thee burnt offerings of fatlings with the sweet smoke of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. To truly understand this verse, we have to understand what happens and what is the difference between a sacrifice of a ram, of something called a fatling, goats and bulls. Understanding why those animals are chosen and why they are different from each other, and in what way are those differences experienced from the from the consciousness of the people bringing the sacrifice. And to be truthful, I truly do not yet understand the question I'm asking. So in time, we will get that answer from the Zohar. The 16th verse. Lechu shimu va'asapra ko yirei Elohim asher asah lenafshi. Come and hearken, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Actually, fear should be awe, as we've spoken of repeatedly. And the name for God is Elohim. Sometimes Elohim is described as working within Bina, and sometimes working within Malchut. And knowing which one is here is important to understand the verse. fact that there are nine words, we have to decide, is it Yesod or is it Hakma, which is really relating to the Bina Malchut discussion. Five letters. I don't know off the top of my head what 35 connects to. But if you break it down into factors, 5 times 7, it becomes clear that it's talking about the 7 lower sephirot being unified with the 5 worlds. Verse 17. Ela pikarati. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. This is another verse where you seem to have some opposites. They're not really opposites, because your mouth can express concern and fears and all of those kinds of emotions. And you can also praise Hashem. But here we're talking about you cry with your mouth, you praise with your tongue. And there's a significant difference in the consciousness of the tongue, its purpose, why it was created, what it does to modify the sound. 18th verse. When imraiti b'libi lo yishma Adonai. If I had regarded iniquity in my heart, Adonai would not hear. This is expressing the concept of Hashem's mercy. Because if I am thinking, expressing from my heart iniquity, anger, upset, distrust, all of these negative feelings and emotions, if this is what's the consciousness I have, whatever my words are, Hashem does not hear them as a way of expressing mercy and not manifesting these negative thoughts, these negative words. The 19th verse. Akein shama Elohim b'kshiv b'kol tefilati. But verily, Elohim has heard, he has attended to the voice of my prayer. Six words connecting to Zeranpin without Malchut's unity, God forbid. Twenty-nine letters connecting to the word Av and the month of Av and the 216 letters of the 72 names. Implying that when we say when we have the knowledge of how to utilize the 72 names, he will help. The saying of those names will manifest their inner essence because God has ordained that. And that's the meaning of he has attended to the voice of my prayer. He will manifest those words. The 20th verse. Baruch Elohim Asher Lo Hesir Tefilati Uechazdo Meiti. Blessed be Elohim, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And we should all say Amen whenever we hear this verse. I will now read the Hebrew in sequence. Lamnatzeach shir mizmor chariyu le'elohim kol haaretz zamru kevod shemo simu kavod tehilato imru le'elohim mano ra ma'asecha berovuzcha yikachashu lecha oyevecha kol haaretz ishtachavu lecha v'yizamru lach yizamru shimcha selah lechuru mifalot Elohim nora alila al b'nei adam hapach yam liyabasha banahar yavru peregel sham nismecha bo. Moshel bigburato olam einav bagoyim titzpena Asorim al yur yarumu lamosela. Baruchu amin Eloheinu v'hashmiu kol tehilato asam nafshenu b'chaim v'lo natan lamot ragleinu. Ki b'chantanu Elohim t'raftanu ki t'raf kaseh avetanu b'msuda shamta mu'aka b'matnenu kir kavta enosh l'roshenu Banu vaesh uva maim watotienu larwaya avo betecha biolot ashalem lechanedarai asher patsu sefatai v'diber ki Batsar li olot mechim a'alelach In Ketoret Elim. E'ese Bachar Im Atudim Sela. Lechushinu Wa'asabra Kol Yirei Elohim Asher Asa L'Nafshi Elav Pikarati V'Romam Tachat L'Shoni Awen Imraiti B'Libi Lo Yishma Adonai Akein Shama Elohim Kikshiv B'Kol Tefilati Baruch Elohim Asher Lo Heisir Tefilati B'Chasdo Meiti. Please note that in verse 7, my commentary was incorrect. I spoke about the word Yarumu, but I was looking at the word to the left, which is Lamo, saying that that's what the word was describing. But I realized it's the word to the right, which is Yud Resh Yud Mem Vav. So there's only one change, and that's the middle yud. The third letter is changed to a vav. And that is something that happens quite often in the Torah, where the red letter will be written with a yud. And spoken with a vav. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? And while you're unmuting yourself, I will remind you that our next class will be Saturday evening, Motzi Shabbat, where we will have a Zohar class after counting the Omer. And I remind you also that tonight you will need to count the Omer with your community if you go to synagogue, or at home by yourself, if not, because we will not be doing it as a community. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. I hope you all have a beautiful Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom. And an easy process of preparing for Shabbat. Shalom Gadol to all. Shalom.
Shalom.